Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guests this evening are Dwayne and Cindy Mullett. They are a couple that has an amazing story, and it's a story of God's grace in the midst of great difficulty. And I'm grateful for their taking time to talk with us about the things they've been through and the things that God has taught them along the way. They have a book that we're going to be mentioning in the broadcast in order for them to be able to share with others the lessons that they've learned in order that others might be encouraged and that the Lord would be exalted. The book is From Pain to Purpose. From Pain to Purpose. And again, Dwayne and Cindy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Pastor Wood. A blessing to be here, to be with you.
Thank you. Now, just share a bit of the journey. What was it that happened that started you, at least in a more aware way, on this journey of learning to trust God and in the midst of grief?
Yes. Well, you mentioned an amazing story. I prefer to say we serve an amazing God, because Amen. We have an amazing God that He makes a way. When you become early in my years, I sensed God calling me to minister to the least of these. And that was through my father's involvement in prison work and different things. And then little did we realize, and as we developed these materials, one of the persons working with us said, you know, what really happened is you became one of the least of these. You know, at the end of yourself, no place to turn and to experience that season. Our first initial aspect of the difficult journey would have been we were married, and 2 years later, our son was born, and we traveled full-time in church and prison evangelistic work. And as we were in Columbia, South Carolina, sang at a prison benefit that Saturday night, and Saturday night, our son Austin had a difficult night. He was 5 months old, wasn't sleeping well, and just irritable. The next morning, we took him to a quick care, and at the quick care, saw a little ear infection, a little bit of fever, put him on some antibiotic, and we were off to the church that night. We headed out of town, and Cindy was holding him. And she, just the urgency in her voice, saying, "Dwayne, he's not breathing. He's breathing fast, and his lips are turning blue." And so I turned around, was going to head back to that doctor, but we realized we didn't have time. So I pulled off the first exit and called 911. And that was the beginning of the hospitalization. He ended up going to have a heart transplant, and then. Soon after a heart transplant, and then our second child was born. She was fine, no health issues. Our third child was born and healthy at birth, but then 3 months later demonstrated the same dilated cardiomyopathy, and she needed to have a heart transplant. And then about a year later, Austin, when he was five, had his first kind of cancer. And then a year later, his second kind of cancer. And then Alicia's had a lot of severe allergies and chronic chemical sensitivities. And then, and currently she's had some mold exposure. And so she's just coming through a season right now. So that was Austin, then after his, went to heart failure the second time, actually had the second heart transplant. And then 8 months later, due to transplant complications, he passed away. So that has been the journey over the last, actually, we've been married now 30 years. So,
and you've endured in that 30 years way more than most people will endure in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have such a debt of gratitude to God's people. We've had so many people whether we're 1,000 miles from home and someone shows God's love to us that's a complete stranger, whether we're in a big children's hospital up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we have such a debt of gratitude to God's people that have showed love to us in so many ways.
Praise God. Now, you mentioned Pittsburgh. Are you familiar with Joseph Bailey and his writings regarding grief?
I don't think I have, no.
He had a child at Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, and I would encourage you, look him up, B-A-Y-L-Y.
Okay.
Joe's now in heaven, but he and I were friends.
Wow.
And his story has a lot of remarkable similarities to yours.
Okay.
But he, of course, was from another generation. As you can see, I'm an old guy, and Joe was getting old when I was young.
Okay.
So, you know, it was another generation, but Joe wrote extensively. He was the editor of Eternity Magazine, and he wrote a book called The Last Thing We Talk About, and you would find it very much in line with what you're talking about.
Wow.
Both in terms of his experience, his life experience, mm-hmm. and also in terms of his finding the sufficiency of God's grace and the faithfulness of God in the midst of great, great hardship and heartbreak.
Yes.
Now, in your book, From Pain to Purpose, you refer to it as a guidebook. Talk with us a little bit about the grief process and the importance of understanding the stages of grief and working through those so that people aren't stuck wondering what's happening to them, because there are certain patterns that are just built in to the grief experience. And if people have a sense of what they're going through, it's not entirely, in my opinion, not entirely unlike when a woman learns about the transition in labor and how, you know, now this is going to happen. You're going to feel this way. And then you're going to come to a point where this happens and you feel this way. And here's what you do here. Here's what you do here. And you seek to help people because you know you're not the only ones who have gone through grief.
Oh, yes.
So you seek to help people know how to work through that. And it's not just steps, but ultimately, as you show, about a relationship with the Lord.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You know, I think that's very important as far as understanding the different stages. And I know, just speaking personally for myself, that the stage of feeling betrayed by God was something that I really struggled with, because I felt like, you know, if we were following God, we were in his will, that he was going to protect me from bad things. And so when some of this stuff started happening, like I felt like my world was just falling apart. And so being able to understand that that feeling of betrayal is a very normal part of the grieving process, the feelings of anger, you know, God, why, those questions of why, we all go through that. And, you know, we just share some things of how to look at those. And then also the importance of having someone walking with us during our grief. And I think, you know, as a body of Christ, sometimes, like, you know, I think we've made some of these statements maybe where we don't necessarily understand, like, you know, we might quote Romans, you know, and say, well, all things work together for good. And we know that it's true, but sometimes what the people need to hear, you know, when you're struggling with grief, is just, you know what, my heart is breaking for you. I'm so sorry. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. And we talk about in our book how, you know, one of the, after creation, God kept saying, you know, it is good, it is good. But then he came to the place where he said, it is not good. Mm-hmm. And that was, it is not good for man to be alone.
Yes.
And I think that aloneness is one of the first crises in the Bible, in mankind. And we just see the importance of people when you're struggling, when you're going through grief, pain, loss of any kind, it's so important that we have people to walk with us. And so we've kind of written the book in a way that it could be used, you know, as a guidebook for somebody else to go through it with, you know, the person who's hurting. So that's, I guess, kind of in a nutshell, some of the things that's...
You know, Job's comforters, as they are called,
yes.
Who didn't comfort him at all.
Right.
But Job's comforters did the right thing when they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the right thing when they sat there in silence.
Yes.
Yep. And then when they started spouting theology, trying to defend God,
right.
They not only made Job angry, they made God angry.
Right, right.
If you read what they said to him, mm-hmm. it's really pretty solid. Good
right.
theology. You know, they were seeking to speak on God's behalf, that God is righteous, God never makes mistakes, et cetera. But the problem is, it's not enough to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to speak the truth in love.
Right.
And there are times when the loving thing to do mm-hmm. is just shut your mouth.
That's right. Yeah.
Just be quiet. Yeah. And, or as you said, just say, you know, my heart breaks for you.
Yes.
If Jesus was able to weep at the tomb of Lazarus, mm-hmm. knowing he was about to bring him back to life,
that's true.
Then the fact that we know that Jesus is greater than even death
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean we're not supposed to weep. We grieve, as you know, but not as those who have no hope.
Yeah.
And yet some people think because we have hope, we're not allowed to grieve.
True. Yeah.
And if we're really spiritual, then, you know, this just will be impervious.
Right.
Water off a duck's back. No problem at all. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And that doesn't work. Jesus modeled the ability not only to weep at Lazarus' tomb, but to weep in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he could say the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, when he is the perfect, sinless man. That
mm-hmm.
should instruct us that there's yes. more to this thing than just stiff upper lip, be brave. So
right.
again, thank you for your willingness to be vulnerable and talk about what you went through and how you felt
mm-hmm.
and that discontinuity between what you felt and what you knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feeling angry at God and knowing that God's perfect,
mm-hmm.
but the right. situation isn't.
Yes.
What role, would you say has to come kind of directly from God himself? Because in other words, you talk about the importance of people being with us
mm-hmm.
in this process, but ultimately, there has to be that connection between us and the Lord himself. Talk with us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think of is, in Job, where he talks about, he said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
Yes.
And just that, what God did in my life personally was, as we were going through all these things, I just became to experience God in just a whole new way, in very much a very personal way.
Mm-hmm.
God showed me so many times that he knew exactly what I was struggling with. He knew exactly. And I started praying very specific prayers, you
mm-hmm.
know, God show me. And one example of that was I remember sitting out on the steps of our house, and I just got off the phone from the doctor's office. The hospital had called, and this was Austin had just completed his year of chemotherapy, and he was finally able to start walking again. And so he was 6 years old, but he had had a growth in the front of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They had removed the tumor, and they had thought it was nothing cancerous, but they came to let us know the pathology report that it was indeed cancer again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember sitting there and I was just crying. I was saying, God, I know your grace has been there for me. I felt your grace, but God, how much can a six-year-old understand your grace? God, show me in some way that you are there for him. Show me
mm-hmm.
that he can feel your presence. And it was only about a week later that Austin came to me and he said, Mommy, he said, you remember when I had my cancer? And the cancer that he had prior was clear throughout his body. And, mm-hmm. but he said, you and Daddy would be with me as I was going to sleep at night, and we would rub his stomach and just try to comfort him. And but he said, one night I woke up during the night and my tummy was really hurting. He said, I looked around the room. Nobody was there, but I felt a hand on my stomach.
Praise
and
God.
He said, I know it was a hand. And he said, after that, the pain all went away.
Praise
and
God.
He just wanted to, you know, and that to me, like, I just started crying and saying, thank you, God.
Amen.
That was him showing me, I am there for Austin. And,
yes.
you know, that grace that was there. I mean, it was so supernatural throughout the rest of Austin's life. And so just seeing how God wants to meet us in a very personal way during
yes.
our struggles is so important. And I think we often don't grasp that. And I would just say to the listener, just don't miss Jesus in your storm. He is
Amen.
Wanting to be there with you. He is there. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's through other people. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's through, you know, many different ways,
yeah,
but he is there. Don't miss Jesus in your storm.
Amen. Amen. Little girl in our church in Atlanta was dying of cancer. And before the doctors realized that she wasn't going to make it, and certainly before the parents realized she wasn't going to make it, she was a preschooler, very young.
Okay.
But well. she went and she got a suitcase. And she, you know, pulled the suitcase out of the closet and took it to her room. And her grandmother said, darling, what are you doing? And she said, I have to pack.
Wow.
And the grandmother said, oh, why? Why would you need to pack? She said, because an angel told me that I'm going to be leaving soon.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Amen.
And, you know, obviously her family clung to that when God yeah. called her home.
Yes.
That, you know, this was not some thing, some oversight by God mm-hmm. where, you know, God was busy in another part of the universe and lost track of this little child. Mm-hmm. Even before the adults in her life knew.
Right.
And certainly beyond her ability to understand what all was going to happen. If you understand, you don't need a suitcase, but she didn't understand exactly what was going on. She just knew what the angel told her.
Yes.
Wow.
And so she was cooperative
mm-hmm.
and at peace.
Yes.
And when, you know, God knows what each of us needs. And God knows what our children need.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our oldest child, we have 7 children, and our oldest child has had over 40 surgeries.
Mm.
Wow.
And I remember when he was very, very young, again, a preschooler, and a lady in the airport, he and I had traveled up to be on a television show in Canada, and a lady in the airport said, so where is your home? Speaking to him. And he looked up and immediately his response was heaven.
Wow.
And of course she was totally stunned, didn't know what to say. And I hadn't prompted that at all, but Paul already had embraced the fact that this stuff's all temporary.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, this is where we are for a time, but if you know Jesus, you know where you're going.
Amen.
And so it doesn't make it easy,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it entirely different than those who have no hope.
Yeah,
yes.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah. The day that Austin went to be taken down to the operating room for his second heart transplant, he had just turned 16 and they came and they were, you know, prepping him to take him down to the OR, and there's a lot of activity and all that. And he was very intellectual. He had looked into statistics for second transplants and wanted to go to the one there in Atlanta. And so I just asked him, I said, Austin, I said, aren't you scared at all? And he literally looked at me with a big smile. And he had been like joking with the nurses. And he said, Mom, why should I be scared? The worst thing that can happen to me is that I'll die during surgery. And if I do, I know I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. Why should
Praise
I be
God.
Scared?
Praise God.
You know, and that's the hope that he had.
Yes.
That's the peace. He knew his life was uncertain and, mm-hmm. but he never allowed that to, you know, rob him from joy. I mean, he lived
Praise
life
God.
to the fullest. It's to the fullest.
Now, someone had compared our life to our life is like a womb of an experience. You know, when a child is in the womb, they're alive, but they don't get to feel and see and experience life as we know it. Yes. But it's a 9 month and then they're born into this world. And so our life here, our existence on earth is like a womb of an experience. When we enter into heaven, into eternity, that's what we're really created for.
Amen. And that's forever.
Yes.
Yes. Praise God. Praise Amen. God. Amen. Now, talk a little bit about how someone can deal with what is a very common feeling among survivors, if you will, and that is feelings of guilt and regret that sometimes afflict us when we've lost someone that we love, whether a child, a spouse, whomever. But when someone close to us is taken, oftentimes there are feelings of guilt. Talk with us about how to deal with that, how to process that.
Yeah, you know, the what ifs and the if onlys are kind of the very common things that people struggle with. And, you know, because there's no relationship that is perfect. So you're always going to think of, well, if I would have only done this differently, or what if I would have done that?
I just said this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so that's very common. And, but we've just realized that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, when we look at other people's lives and you think, well, why would they feel that, you know, but then it's harder to identify that in our own life after you lose someone.
Yeah.
But I think it's just very important to go back. And we talk about unresolved grief in our book and the importance of looking at the things that maybe weren't ideal, you know, maybe the negative traits in our, you know, in our loved one. And being able to process that, being able to, some people need to work through the whole thing of forgiving them, even though that they're gone. Mm-hmm. And that's important to identify that, not to just stifle those feelings. And, but it's important to process that. And it's, you know, I think true healing can only happen after you work through that and you're able to let it go. And then move forward. That's when true freedom and healing can actually take place.
Do you feel that some people almost feel guilty about letting go of certain aspects of the grief as if they're somehow dishonoring that person, failing to love them deeply enough? If they, you know, part of us wants to move on and part of us is like, no, I mustn't forget this person. I mustn't dishonor them, et cetera. Talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's important for people to understand that, you know, that grief process looks different for each individual, and you don't ever need to feel like you need to. I had one lady that told me a couple months after Austin passed away, she said, you know, you're still talking about him. And she said, it's time to move. How did she say that? It's time to
move forward
and, you know, move beyond the grief. And it just kind of took me back. You know, I was surprised by that because I realized, wow, I'll never quit grieving the loss. You know, it's not
as raw
and as painful, but you'll still always miss that person. In fact, we just, on the 31st, it was 11 years since Austin passed away. And so our family always, we do something special in memory of Austin. So we make it a celebration of his life. And so it's something that we will always, you know, it's special. And so you don't have to forget them in order to be able to, in a healthy way, move forward.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, not only on the broadcast, but by being willing to share what God has taught you in your book. I think being able to hear from you all and to read your book is going to be tremendously helpful for a lot of folks. From Pain to Purpose is the book. I thank you very much for coming on and sharing with us about it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.